Hi, it's Bill DeYoung with Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My guest today is Catherine Pill. She is Senior Curator of Contemporary Art at the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Petersburg, which will be, oh my goodness, that's going to be 60 years old next year, which is amazing. MFA's been there, you know, I was a kid growing up in St. Petersburg and MFA was there. But it's changed a lot, folks, and if you haven't been there, now's the time. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have so much to talk about. What exactly does the title mean, Senior Curator of Contemporary Art, so I can dodge and parry around that one?
It just means I'm the lucky one that gets to work with living artists on incredibly exciting projects pretty much every day of my life.
Is that something that you went after curatorially, like when I do this, that's what I want to do? Was that a goal?
It was. I'm not an artist myself, and I see myself as something of a conduit between artist and audience, and that's where I'm happiest. I really work for the artist, and I work for the audience.
Obviously, you've been doing this a few years now, but I mean, did you start out like, I just like hanging around artists, and, you know, in other words, how did you develop what became your career?
Something clicked when I was in undergrad. I'd planned to become a music journalist. I'd been obsessed with Bertolt Brecht and his alienation effect. I was really interested in the way that politics can play a role in the arts. And when I was younger, I loved putting together school projects. Mm-hmm. I was always an organizer.
Oh, yeah.
And I think once I took my first art history course, it all came into place, and I decided that's what I want to be, a curator.
But you don't deal with the old masters, and you don't deal with, ancient of the old, you know, the older stuff in the collection and the other exhibits. You deal strictly with contemporary work.
I'm fortunate enough to work at an encyclopedic museum, one that is really quite collaborative. And we kind of like to shake things up in the galleries where we can have contemporary artists in conversation with ancient art, for instance.
Yeah.
And in our upcoming Skyway installation, this is going to be the third iteration that we're working on Skyway.
When is that coming, by the way?
Well, it just opened in Sarasota. I should backtrack, I guess, a bit and just say that Skyway is a multi-venue, multi-year celebration of artists in our regions. And it started in 2017 between our museum, the Tampa Museum of Art, and the Ringling Museum.
Mm-hmm.
In 2021, we added the USF Contemporary Art Museum. And then this year, we've added Sarasota Art Museum. So we've grown from 3 to 5 venues. For our iteration at the Museum of Fine Arts, which opens July 13th, we're going to have 7 artists placed throughout the collection galleries. So viewers are going to have, I think, a really exciting time seeing our collection galleries in a totally new way.
Tell me why Skyway, tell me why it exists. I see it's a I see it bridging the areas, bridging the counties. I get the metaphor. but how did that start, and what was the original idea?
I think it started really with the Tampa Museum. Michael Tomor really wanted to see this type of collaboration happening. We got on board, and so did the Ringling. And this type of institutional collaboration is, I believe, unheard of. I mean, to have 5 area museums partner on a collaborative exhibition that's open across all 5 venues simultaneously and celebrating artists that reside within our counties is completely unique.
It's in Sarasota now?
So the first venue to open was the Ringling Museum.
Okay.
We will be the second one to open in July.
I mean, is it the same material traveling between? Or
nope.
It's all different. You see, I have no clue. So
it's a tricky one. Yeah. So there's about 64 artists, and they will be showing at all 5 venues. Some will be showing at 2 venues. Most will be showing just at 1.
Mm-hmm.
The exhibitions open on a rolling basis, but there will be a period of time where it's open across all of the venues, and then they start closing in the fall.
That is so interesting. I wanted to talk about the current exhibition at MFA, which is Never the Same Song. First of all, let me backtrack myself, because I think you were responsible for bringing Gio Swaby in.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that was so good. And that kind of reflects, I think, not only your commitment to, you know, diversity and all things, but it was a great exhibition. back in 22, I think it was. And that, to me, Catherine, I mean, that represents kind of your vision, what you do, you know, bringing something that nobody in St. Petersburg had ever heard of. But, you know, you don't have to hear of everything. You trust people like yourself or Peter Tosh over at Dolly or the other curators to say, you'll like this. This is really cool. This is kind of what's going on now. And on that note, let's talk about Lizzie and Lonnie and Never the Same Song, which is going on now. I mean, to my mind, it's found objects made art. That's a simple way of describing what they do. Talk to me about that exhibition.
Yeah, so this is the first time that Lizzie Bogatsos and Lonnie Hawley have exhibited together. Lonnie Hawley has long been in our collection, thanks to donors like Jim Sweeney, Tom and Donna Brumfield. And Lizzie Bogatsos is an artist I was introduced to through our former director. Mm-hmm. She is primarily known as, like, around the world as a musician, as the front woman of the band Gang Gang Dance.
Yeah.
But just this past fall, I saw her solo exhibition at Tramps Gallery in New York, and her visual practice is mind-blowing. And she's known Lonnie for 10 years.
Yeah.
And we initially sort of approached her to see if maybe she would want to curate a small show of works by Lonnie from our collection, but I wanted to see more of Lizzie's work. We ended up doing a two-person exhibition co-curated by Viva Vadim, who has known Lonnie since she was a kid. And it's become an incredibly powerful exhibition that brings together two artists who are steadfastly trying to make the world a better place. And I know that's a rather broad statement.
Well, sure. But
I am not joking. We've divided the exhibition into three themes, one about climate justice, one about family histories, and one about the importance of performance.
So obviously it's gotten a lot of attention already. Talk to me about what they do.
I mean, you are absolutely correct. It's found objects. Mm-hmm. And so for Lonnie, he uses used objects, things that he finds, because he's really trying to honor past histories of objects, tell new stories with them. And he's also trying to show, you know, this steadfast dedication to environmental reuse. That's really an important part of his practice that maybe mm-hmm. isn't always addressed. And he creates narratives with these objects. He has an entire visual lexicon, and everything is so symbolically important. And I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. One of the anchor pieces to the exhibition is called Without Skin. It is composed of all of these unupholstered lounge chairs, stripped, you know, of any fabric or anything mm-hmm. that renders them functional. And intertwined between them is a fire hose. And when you look at a fire hose up close, you see the power it could wield once it's filled up with water.
Sure.
And what he's doing with these objects is really, I'm using quotation marks, skinned the chairs, and he's mm-hmm. using this fire hose to suggest the violence that's been inflicted upon, for instance, black protesters in Alabama in the 60s, mm-hmm. When fire hoses were unleashed by police. And he's bringing almost like a visceral kind of approach to inanimate objects. You really feel it in your gut when you're looking at these works. For Lizzie, she also uses found objects, but very often the objects are incredibly personal. They're objects that come from her childhood pointe shoes. She was a ballet dancer. We wanted to have that contrast because there's a history of the ready-made that comes from, you know, Marcel Duchamp and, mm-hmm. you know, the urinal, for instance. And that's really a comment on, you know, what is art. But for Lizzie and Lonnie, there are so many other ideas, narratives, points that are being made with their use of found objects, not least of which is an entire visual aesthetic that is just really beautiful. And you need to sort of dig deep, reflect, and spend some time with this show.
Well, you know, you brought up that age-old question, that age-old bugaboo, what is art? You know, when the MFA started, and it was a different world, you know, paintings and sculpture, I mean, are there still people out there who will walk through, and this is devil's advocate stuff, mind you, who will walk through this exhibition and go, how is this art? I mean, you still see that?
Oh, of course, yes, yes, absolutely. And so we've tried to include quotes from the artist whenever possible. We've tried to include, you know, didactics that explain where the artists are coming from, because that is the job of the curator. We're not just putting artworks on view with no guidance. And it's also very important for Lonnie in particular that his works are explained. So
put things in context.
Exactly. Yeah. So we are certainly doing our best to get those narratives and contexts across.
Tell me about the permanent collection. For maybe folks who don't know, what's in there? I mean, there's this thing now, True to the Tint, that's just come out, which is sort of the history of tinting and the evolution of color photography. And I know there's an incredible photography collection there. Can you speak to the permanent collection? You know, one of the things I think is great about what MFA does is that every so often, you just say, look at this stuff we found in the attic. Look how cool this is. And you do a whole exhibition about it. What's in there?
What's not in there? I mean, one of the most amazing things to me is the fact that every sixth grader in Pinellas County Schools comes through the MFA as part of their World Civilizations class. Mm-hmm. So we have ancient Greek and Roman artworks, ancient Asian artworks, up to European Baroque and Renaissance paintings and sculptures to mid-century American abstraction. We try to have a little bit of everything.
But it's sort of like it never ends. That's what will kill me. You know, it'll be like, oh no, we have this. We're gonna pull this out now. And I remember the last photography exhibition. It might have been one or two ago. The woman who was curating photography at the time would say, you know, we got these drawers and we pulled them out. And look at this amazing stuff. Are there things you don't even know you have? Is it just like looking through, you know, like I say, an attic and going, oh my goodness.
We have a new director of collections management, Jason Wyatt, mm-hmm. I mean, and a great research team. So yes, we are in there trying to make sure we know the stories behind everything that's in that collection.
Can you talk to me about the place that, in your mind, that MFA holds in St. Petersburg and in Tampa Bay? I mean, everybody talks about, well, we have, I think, 5 art museums in St. Petersburg, you know, all of varying content and design and that sort of thing and purpose. Where does MFA fit in there?
As you mentioned, when we opened, the MFA was opened in 1965. Mm-hmm. Margaret Atchison Stewart decided that the tiny city of St. Pete needed an encyclopedic museum with the neoclassical architecture facade on Beach Drive. I mean, if you look at the first exhibition that was there, there were Caravaggio's. The artwork that was loaned to the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Petersburg, Florida for that first exhibition was mind-blowing. And it's just kind of humbling to think about what this woman did for mm-hmm. this city by bringing all of that together. That same neoclassical facade is rather intimidating, though. And I think museums need to kind of become more welcoming spaces for all. That's something that the museum is, I think all museums are constantly
working towards.
Well,
you're talking
about
sort of architecturally, though.
Everything.
It's a beautiful place.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, there can be something called threshold fear sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we have the beautiful new wing that opened in 2008. Mm-hmm. And we have Cafe Clementine. We have our Christian Sampson dichroic film glass installation in the conservatory right now. And we have a very cool MFA store that Billy Summer's been working on with little listening stations so you can hear Lizzie and Lonnie's music
after you
visit the exhibition.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it as lively as possible, that's for sure.
How's the conservation of the Spanish Tabernacle going? Luis is doing. A writer with us wrote a story about it. But that's got to be nearing completion.
It is indeed. Yeah, it's almost there, and it's looking gorgeous. I mean, some of the painted elements are incredible, mm-hmm. and so I think it will be wrapping up within maybe just a couple weeks. Yeah.
Does it stay in your collection? I can't remember. What happens to it after it's finished?
Oh, yes. That's part of our collection. Yeah. So that'll go on view.
What's your favorite? I don't know. I'm just going to pull a Barbara Walters question out of the air here. What's your favorite thing about your job, about working there and being part of the creative team?
For me, it is installation time, when you get to see an exhibition come together.
Mm.
And maybe that's kind of selfish because it's before, you know, everyone gets to see it. But there's always lots of problem solving. There's a lot of teamwork that needs to come together. But it's really a rush. It is the most exciting part of my job, and I love it.
What's next? I mean, Skyway's coming. Are you looking at the fall? Are there plans for the fall already? And
yes.
Onward.
Yeah. And my next big project is going to be a career retrospective of the artist Nina Yankowitz. So she was one of the co-founders of the Heresies Feminist Collective, and mm-hmm. she is just an incredible multidisciplinary artist who hasn't quite gotten her due.
And when is that coming?
That will be coming next summer.
You've done a lot of talks about women artists and you know, historically kind of what they've had to sort of put up with and not put up with and great art and stuff. Why is that important to you? I see it a lot on your CV that you've done a lot of that work.
Just because we live in a racist and patriarchal society, and I think it's important to call out the unheard stories that get lost in the shuffle and to push against racist and misogynistic behaviors at any point we possibly can.
Well, it's also healthy for us out here I like to refer to us who aren't you as the great unwashed, you know, all of us out here who don't really understand things, to be educated in a way that makes you go, well, yeah, of course. They just never showed this to us before.
I'm learning about women artists that have been underserved. I'm learning about Black artists that have been underserved and mm-hmm. underrepresented. There's been a whole system that has left so many people out of the art historical canon. And so anyone who's not really working to try to correct that should.
I did want to touch on very briefly search for a new director. Is that ongoing?
It is, yeah. We've hired a national search firm, and that is well on its way. So
okay.
We're excited.
Enough said, I suppose. Lonnie was here. Lonnie's been here. Has Lizzie been here yet? Is she coming?
So Lonnie and Lizzie were both here for opening week.
Oh, I didn't realize Lizzie was here as well.
Yeah, we had a special dinner for her at In Between Days, and Lonnie gave 2 gallery talks with Viva. Mm-hmm. And then Lizzie will be back September 15th, which is a Sunday. It's the closing of the exhibition, and she's going to do a closing talk. So it's really exciting to be able to wrap up the exhibition hearing directly from the artist.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's never the same song, and it's through, September 15th, or that weekend anyway, at the Museum of Fine Arts, St. Petersburg. Today's guest has been Catherine Pill, who is Senior Curator of Contemporary Art. Catherine, thanks again.
All right, thank you. Take care.